heard about this village over in Africa. And this particular village was visited by a missionary team, and they were actually able to convert all of this village over to Christianity. And so once these folks in this village began their relationship with Christ, they made it a point from day one to really emphasize the importance of prayer in their lives. And so what they would do is every single morning, each person in the village would actually head out somewhere outside of the village, find their kind of special place where they would pray, and they would do this every single morning. And what actually ended up happening is that over time, as they began to venture out to their special place of prayer, the path that they walked along became so worn that the grass and the trail, it actually began to form a trail, so that there was no more grass there. And what actually ended up happening is that when somebody wasn't being faithful in their prayer time, people would actually begin to try to hold each other, the other people in this village, accountable to that prayer life because they recognized just how important it was for them to have that time every single morning. And so what they would begin to do is they started coming up to people when they would see that the grass was beginning to grow up on that path. They would approach their fellow villagers and they would tell them, there's grass on your path. Hey, there's grass on your path. In other words, you haven't been spending enough time in prayer. And that wasn't out of a means of trying to guilt them or make them feel bad about themselves for not living up to whatever the, you know, Christian standard was that was supposed to be going on in their village. Rather, it was in order to encourage them, to remind them that their most important thing that they do every single day is to begin in prayer and to begin in communion with their Savior. You know, as we begin today, I have a question for us. What's the grass look like on your prayer path? What does it look like? Is it overgrown? Right? Because we really haven't been spending any time in it at all? Or is it worn down to the point where it's down to the dirt? It's down to the rock because we have spent so much time in prayer. And here's, I'm just gonna shoot straight with you this morning because that's all I know how to do. I think most of us, we got a lot of grass on our prayer path. I think for the vast majority of people, even those of us who call ourselves devoted followers of Jesus Christ, we do not spend nearly enough time in prayer with our God. We don't. See, we've been in a series for the last couple of weeks. I know Greg said last week that last week was going to be the end, but I decided to tack on one more week. Is that okay? We're going to be in one more week here of this series, Battle Armor. And what we're going to talk about today, I believe actually might be the most important message of this entire series. See, we've talked about all of this armor that we're supposed to be putting on, right? We talked about the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes fitted with the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and all of those are so essential and necessary to standing firm in this spiritual battle, this war that we're in against this unseen enemy that is trying to destroy our lives, that is attacking on a daily basis. They're essential. But what we need to understand today as we close out this series is that without prayer, none of those pieces of armor will matter. Why? That's really the question as we begin today. Because we can have all the armor, we can have it all put on, right? But the armor has to be activated in order to actually do anything, to accomplish anything of eternal value, of spiritual value. It must be activated. And the activation source is prayer. It has to be powered up, all right? So I'm going to go modern on you now. All right, we've been talking about this old school like armor, right? I want you to think about Iron Man with me, right? If you've seen any of the Iron Man movies, right? The suit of armor that Iron Man wears is incredible. But what makes the suit special? Is it just the metal and the helmet and all the gadgetry? No. No, what makes Iron Man's armor special is it's called the arc reactor. I'm going to nerd out on you here for a second, all right? The arc reactor is basically an unlimited power source that never runs out, because that suit needs an unbelievable power source to do all of the things that it does. Without the arc reactor, Iron Man's suit is nothing. It's not even possible. In the same way, church, we got to hear this today. Without prayer, all of the armor that we put on, it doesn't mean a thing. It's weak and powerless without prayer. And so today, as we close out this series, I want to talk about prayer. We're going to look at the last couple of verses of Ephesians 6, 10 through 20, verses 18, 19, and 20 as we close out today. Just three verses, but these three verses, boy, are they powerful. And I believe if we will begin to understand prayer, understand how to actually activate our armor, to actually put prayer into practice in a consistent way in our lives, we will see major life change in our spiritual life. See, I am a firm believer in this. The number one reason that we do not see transformation in our spiritual lives, the number one reason that we succumb to the enemy on a regular basis, is because we are not connecting with our Heavenly Father, connecting with the power source that provides us with the power to stand against the enemy. We are trying to do it on our own power, and that will never, ever work. And so I want to recap by reading Ephesians 6, verse 10, and recap this one last time. We're going to read it again, and I encourage you, go back to this. Go back to Ephesians 6, 10 through 20 on a regular basis. We got to armor up on the regular, church. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. He says, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. He says, then stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, he says, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. He says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And that's where we ended last week. Six different pieces of armor that Paul challenges us to put on in this spiritual battle, the spiritual fight that we're in. But then he closes with something vitally important. Beginning in verse 18, he says, and pray, he says, in the Spirit, on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. And so Paul gives these six pieces of armor, but then he closes with this challenge to be in prayer. And what he does here, and we're going to kind of unpack this over the next few minutes, is he actually gives us a blueprint for what that actually looks like. Because I think in Christianity, we know this, right? We've heard this. If you've grown up in the church at all, you've heard you're supposed to pray. The problem is, what does that mean? What does that actually look like? I'm not even sure where to even begin with that, right? I want to unpack that today. Paul gives us a blueprint here. And so what does he say? First and foremost, he says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions. We are to first and foremost pray in the Spirit. Now, what does that mean? To pray in the Spirit. What it means is to be led by the Spirit and to pray in the power of the Spirit in everything that we do. In other words, prayer that is outside of the Spirit is not going to be of any value to us. See, there's two ways that we can pray. We can pray in the Spirit or we can pray in the flesh. We can pray the Lord's will. We can pray for us to have a connectivity to Him and have a desire to do what He wants us to do in this life and to connect with His will and desire and plan for our life and for this world. Or we can pray in the flesh, We can pray our own desires, our own will. And if we're really honest with ourselves, come on now. Most of the time, we pray in the flesh. Right, don't we? Like, if we're really honest, what do most of our prayers consist of? Right, my will, what I want to be done. Rather than aligning ourselves, and this is what praying in the Spirit means, it's aligning ourselves, it's aligning up of our will, our desire, with the will and desire of our Heavenly Father. And what Scripture tells us is that when we do that, when we line up with His will and we pray in the Spirit, He answers every single time. He answers every time. When we pray in the Spirit, what He says is, I will provide you, I will guide you in your prayers to pray the things that need to be prayed to protect you and to encourage you in your faith. Listen to what this says in Romans 8, 26 and 27. It says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. That is what the Holy Spirit is here for. He is to be our great comforter, our great counselor. That's what Jesus said. I'm going to leave you an advocate on your behalf to advocate for you on your behalf. He says, we do not know what we ought to pray for. Anybody else feel like that sometimes? We do not know what to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. He is interceding for us. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit, again, there it is, the word intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. He intercedes in accordance with the will of God. The Spirit, here's what He does. He intercedes for us. He guides us toward the will of God, but we have to do something. See, the Holy Spirit is speaking to us at all times. He's constantly trying to get our attention. He's trying to lead us and guide us. He's trying to intercede for us. I love that word. When someone intercedes for you, what are they doing? They are stepping in to take over, to take control of whatever that thing is that you can't handle, and they are doing it for you. And that's what the Holy Spirit is offering to us as His followers. As followers of Jesus, He's saying, I will intercede for you. I will take over for you. I will be all the power that you need, and I will show you what you need to pray for. And when He shows us and we actually begin to pray those things, wow, is there power in that? The opposite of that is to pray in the flesh. Right, praying our own will and desires, to ignore the Spirit, to pray in my own flesh, and to pray things that I want, my desires. And I know this, I won't speak for anybody else, but I know my flesh, my desires, a lot of times they're not good. They come out of selfish motivation a lot of times. That's what praying in the flesh will do. And this is what we need to understand, church. There is zero power in that. When we pray in the flesh, there is no power in that. And I think oftentimes we wonder, right? I mean, how many of us, come on, we've prayed for something and it didn't feel like God answered. Come on, I've been there. God, where are you? Why aren't you answering my prayer? It's because we've been praying in the flesh. We've been praying outside of the will of God. God is not going to answer prayers that are outside of His will. But everything that is in His will, He says, I will answer. I love this. 1 John 5:14. He says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God. We can have confidence, He says, in approaching God with our prayers. That if we ask anything according to what? His will. Don't miss this. He hears us. He answers us when we pray according to His will. Do you know what the will of God is? The will of God is for you to stand firm against the enemy. I promise you that. Your Heavenly Father has given you and equipped you everything you need, with everything you need to stand firm against the enemy. He has given you everything you need to have joy and peace and patience in the midst of your really difficult life circumstances. He has given you an eternity, salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. These are promises of God, promises that He says, if you will pray those things, He will give them to you over and over and over again. We can stand against the enemy. That is the promise of God. when we pray in his will. Prayer is the power source that activates that, and not just any old prayers, not prayers of our own selfish fleshly desire, but prayers in the Spirit. God, I want your will. I want what you desire. And when we begin to pray like that, something happens, something changes inside of us. And I think this is one of the most fundamental, foundational things we have to understand about prayer. If you've never really understood this, this is so key. Most of the time, we spend our lives praying for circumstances to change, don't we? Come on, we do, right? We want circumstances to change. And I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with wanting our circumstances to change and to God, for God to intercede and intervene in those circumstances. But more than anything, don't miss this, church. What God wants is for a change to happen inside of you, so that no matter what your circumstances are, you are prepared and equipped to stand in the midst of those circumstances. He wants to provide you with joy and peace and contentment and satisfaction. He wants to give you discernment and wisdom to navigate through every difficult circumstance and situation that you are in. And when we pray for those things in the Spirit, he pours out those things into our life. He does. But that doesn't happen when we pray in the flesh. We have to pray in the Spirit. And so first he says, pray in the Spirit, but then he also says, we are to pray on all occasions. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions. In other words, we're to be praying all the time. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray continually. Pray continually. Another translation of that says, pray without ceasing. In other words, never stop praying. We should be praying all the time. Now, some of you probably thinking, and you maybe read that verse before, heard that verse before, like, how am I supposed to do that? I mean, if I just sit in my room and pray all day, nothing is going to get done, right? I have a job to go to. I have a family to take care of. How in the world am I supposed to pray continually, pray without ceasing? We have to understand what Paul is saying when he says that. It is a continual connecting, a moment by moment awareness that God is there, that he is present, and that we can speak to him. We can have dialogue and conversation with him at any moment of any day. It's a constant surrendering of our heart to his will. That's what praying continually means. I think of it like this. How many of you remember the old dial tone, dial-up internet from back in the day? Mid to late 90s, early 2000s, right? You remember the sound? I'm here all day for the impressions, folks. Right? The dial-up tone, right, was awful. But the most awful thing about the dial-up was this, is that you weren't constantly connected to the internet. I mean, it was such a pain, right? You wanted to get online, you wanted to surf the web, you wanted to get on your TikTok or whatever you needed to get onto on the internet, and you had to wait. And sometimes that dial-up took what felt like, it was probably literally like 30 seconds, but it felt like 15 minutes, didn't it? Right? Now, what do we have? We have fiber optics. We have a constant connectivity. We have global Wi-Fi. Wherever we go, we can access the internet through our phones. The illustration is this. Most of us, when it comes to our prayer life, we're dial-up. And we go to God and we connect with him when we feel like we need it, but half the time we're completely disconnected. When what we should be is fiber optics. We should have a constant connectivity to our Heavenly Father, right? When we're stressed, we should pray. When we're feeling depressed, we should pray. When we got a situation in our life that we don't know how to handle and we're questioning what to do, we should pray. When we see somebody who's in crisis, somebody who's hurting, somebody who's in pain, we should pray. It should be our knee-jerk reaction. Why? Because we are always connected to Him. But the truth of the matter is that takes practice. And most of us have never put continual, he says, pray continually. We have never put continual prayer into practice enough for it to actually become habit, for it to become this knee-jerk reaction. I think about when I was learning to play guitar. I remember how difficult it was to get my fingers in the right positions as I was learning to play those chords, and then later learning to play licks and tabs and learn to play songs. How difficult it was in the beginning. But as I practiced and practiced and practiced hours and hours a day sometimes, what began to happen was I began to build something called muscle memory. Muscle memory. To the point where I no longer had to think about where to put my fingers. Right in the beginning, I had to look at the neck and kind of get my fingers in position, and then concentrate on that chord. Now, you tell me to play a D, tell me to play a C, I just do it. Right? I don't even have to think. My fingers go in the exact position that they need to go in. Guys, prayer is the same way. When it comes to our prayer life, we've got to build spiritual muscle memory so that every single time there is something in our life that is causing us any type of stress, worry, anxiety, any difficult situations, any times when we need wisdom and discernment, it is automatic. We are having conversation with our Heavenly Father. It is continual throughout the day. From one moment to the next, there is never a time when we disconnect from that power source. We are in constant communion, active communion with our Heavenly Father. That's what continually praying looks like. We are praying in the Spirit continually. It says on all occasions. But he doesn't just stop there. He goes on, he says, with all kinds of prayers and requests. Okay, he's given us another piece to the blueprint here. We're to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Now, he's using two different words for prayer here. Prayer and requests are actually both words for prayer in the original language here. The first word is proseus. It means general prayers. So all kinds of prayers, general prayers. Right, and we're probably, most of us are fairly good at the general prayers. God, I need you today. God, I want your will to be done. God, I need your help today. God, I hope you intervene in this situation. Right, we pray those general prayers, but there's a second type of prayer, and this is what he means when he says all kinds of prayers and requests. It's the word diesis. It is specific prayers. Specific needs that we need to be praying for, specific requests. And I don't know about you, I do not pray specific enough prayers in my life. This is an area that I want to get better at. What does he mean when he says specific, right? Specific requests. We need to be praying specifically for circumstances and situations in our life. We need to be praying specifically for the things in our life that we want to change. God, I don't want you to just transform me. God, I want you to transform my heart. God, I'm selfish and I need you to help me in that area. God, I'm prideful and I need you to help me in that area. Whatever it might be, God, there's this situation in my marriage. There's a situation with my children. I need you to change hearts. Specifically, here's what I need you to do, God. We are to pray all kinds of prayers and all kinds of requests. He's also talking about the form in which we pray. Right, there's all different ways to pray, right? Sometimes our prayers are long. Sometimes our prayers are short. Sometimes they're individually. Sometimes they are corporately. Right? He's saying pray all kinds of prayers. Sometimes the best prayer, guys, is three words, God help me. Right? When we're at the dinner table, please. Please. That is not the time for a long prayer. If you are having dinner with me and we are sitting down to eat, you know, you talk about the Spirit's wordless groans. I think it's my stomach sitting down for dinner and getting ready to eat, and then it's a 15-minute sermonette. Jesus, thank you for this food. Amen. Done. You can be grateful in 3 seconds to God. And I say all that just to simply say, prayer doesn't have to look one way or another. There are so many different forms, so many different ways that can look. And yeah, Do I encourage you to spend your morning, part of your morning, praying a long, deep prayer and connecting with your Heavenly Father to begin your day or to close your day? Absolutely. But that's not the only way to pray. We are to be praying continually throughout the day. We are to be praying specific requests, all kinds of prayers and requests. And then he goes on. He says, with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Another piece to the blueprint here, right? We're to be praying in the Spirit. We're to be praying all the time, and we are to be praying about everything. But then he tacks this on. He says, with all that in mind, though, be alert. Pay attention and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Number one, he says, be alert. Pay attention to the needs around you of the world around you. How many of us have had somebody come to us and say, I need prayer for this? And what do we do most of the time? Come on, let's be honest. Oh, of course I'll pray for you. 5 minutes later, we've forgotten it. And then we never actually do it. It happens to me all the time. Unless I stop and I pray right there. Let's pray right now. Or I stop and I write that thing down. And then I put it in my journal. And then I'm reminded to pray for it later. Right? We have to be paying attention. We have to be aware of the needs around us. But then it's not just the prayers that people come to us with. It's the prayers that we should be seeing, the needs that we should be seeing. We need to have eyes open to the hurt and the struggle and the pain and the situations of our world. And sometimes it's easy. You got a war going on over in the Ukraine. That's an easy one. It's right in front of you. The media is blasting you with it all the time. But what about all the people who are just in front of you daily? Look for the needs when your children are struggling, when you see your spouse struggling. They've had a bad day at work, bad day at school. When you see a car crash while you're driving down the highway, that's an opportunity to just, again, it doesn't have to be this long 15-minute sermonette. To just say, God, help them. God, intervene, intercede. They need you. Right? Because as much as the enemy is attacking you, he is attacking them. And we need to also be on the lookout for ourselves. You know, when you're going into a situation that might cause you to make some bad decisions, that might cause some anxiety or some worry, we need to be on the lookout. We need to be paying attention for those things. And that should be that muscle memory, automatic. This is my time. I got to go to God right now. Right now, before I do anything else, I'm going to pray. Not only are we to be alert, though, it says always keep on praying. That means to be persistent in our prayers. To be persistent, to keep on asking. Most of us as Christians, here's what we do. We don't really pray until there's a crisis, right? We don't really pray until there's like this huge need in front of us, until we're almost desperate. I believe what Paul is saying here is don't wait until you are desperate. Don't be reactive in your prayer life. Be proactive in your prayer life. Cut that thing off before it ever even gets to you, so that when those situations come where you would normally wait to pray for, and then you're kind of like stumbling backwards and trying to fight back from that thing that's going on in your heart and your spirit, you're already prepared before it even happens. You cut that off before anything negative even happens in your life when you begin to pray like that, persistently. Finally, he calls us to pray for others. What does he say? Be alert and always keep on praying for who? For all the Lord's people. See, it's not just about us. It's about the church. It's about praying for the Lord's people. Guys, one of Satan's greatest tactics against us as his followers, as Jesus' followers, is to infiltrate our lives and get us to be as selfish and self-centered as we can possibly be. To not pray for anything but for ourselves. What Paul is saying here is we need to be interceding on behalf of each other. We need each other. We need the prayers of the body of Christ. Right? Praying for others, here's what it does, church. It changes our heart posture. It takes the focus off of me and it puts it on everybody else around me. I heard a story about Something that happened during the Spanish Civil War, a long time ago. Spain, right before this war began, had an epidemic of neuroses. People dealing with all kinds of neuroses. The psychiatrists and psychologists in Spain were literally to the point where they did not have enough people to handle the amount of neuroses that were going on in their country. Then all of a sudden, this civil war happened. And the cases of people that needed to see psychiatrists and psychologists plummeted to the point where they almost had no one. They had no business. Do you want to know why? Because all of a sudden, the focus was no longer on them. The focus was on, we're in the middle of a war. Other people, other things need my attention. I'm going to have to get outside of myself and focus on other things. And all of a sudden, the less they focused on themselves and the more they focused on others, the more their spirit was transformed. All of a sudden, those neuroses were gone. Guys, the same thing is true when it comes to prayer. When you begin to just pray for others, pray for people in this church, pray for marriages, pray for their parenting, their children, pray for their relationships, pray for the circumstances that are going on in our country and around the world, the church, the global church around the world. When we begin to pray for those things, it takes all the focus off of us. And it actually brings a greater joy and a peace and a satisfaction in our lives. Paul says we are to be praying for all the Lord's people. Guys, one of Satan's, again, one of his biggest tactics against us as believers is to bring disunity within the church, is to attack the church, to cause infighting in here, inside of the church, inside of the body, to cause relationships to crumble and deteriorate. We need to be praying against that on a daily basis, every single day, because he's coming. And then finally, he closes with this. He says, pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. I love that. Paul says, pray for me that when I speak, I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. He says, pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Again, you want to talk about Satan's tactics? One of his greatest tactics is to cause Christians to be afraid to proclaim the gospel in the world around us. And we are seeing that every day. Christians are pulling punches left and right. Why? Because it's scary out there. It is. I get it. There's a world that is against the gospel, that is against what Christians believe. And yet we have a responsibility, just like Paul had a responsibility, to bring the amazing grace and love and truth of Jesus Christ to the world around us, whether they understand it or not. That's our job, church. And the enemy's going to do everything he can to stop that from happening. Why? Because if he can get Christians to keep their mouths shut, to not proclaim the gospel boldly, he's winning. That's the bottom line. And so Paul says, pray for that. Pray for boldness. Pray for courage, not just for yourself, but for the entire church. True North Church, the church in Pittsburgh, and around the world. Be praying for those things daily. So this is our blueprint, church. This is the blueprint that Paul gives us. You want to pray more powerfully and effectively? Do you want to see yourself begin to stand firm against some of those things, those battles that maybe you have been losing? Do you want to see some people around you begin to stand firm in this battle against our enemy? We pray in the Spirit. We pray all the time. We never stop. It becomes a lifestyle for us. We pray about everything. We pray for the church. We pray that we would stand firm together, united as one body in Christ. And so I want to leave you today with one big challenge and some subpoints to that. Church, if we want to stand firm against this enemy that we have, and if we've learned nothing else over the last 5 weeks, boy, I hope we at least understand that our enemy is formidable, that he wants to destroy us. And so we better be prepared. We can have all the pieces of armor, know what they are, and have even put them on, but if they are not activated through prayer, if we do not have a strong prayer life, it will not matter. And so there's one challenge today, one point. I want you to write this down. We got to activate our armor. We got to activate our armor every single day. There cannot be a day that goes by that we do not activate our armor. How do we do that? Through prayer. There are so many of us who have had the armor for a long time. We've known what salvation is. We've known what the truth is, right? We've been trying to walk in righteousness in our own power. We read our Bibles. But our prayer life is shallow or non-existent. And that kind of living will lead to defeat. It will. The good news today is that prayer isn't some mystical, magical thing that is unattainable to us. It is simply having a connection, a communion, a fellowship with our Heavenly Father on a continual, ongoing basis and making that our go-to in every situation and every circumstance of our life instead of trying to do it on our own. Church, we wonder why we succumb to the attacks of the enemy on a regular basis. I'd almost be willing to guarantee it's because we are not in prayer. And so the question we got to answer today, and with this we'll close. What's our action step? How do I actually activate the armor? I want to give you some practical steps, really practical steps for you to take with you today in this fight against our enemy. Number one, here's some things you can start praying for. Start praying about your own heart. Begin there. Start with that. The transformation of your own heart, the protection of your own heart, change inside your own heart. And you need to ask the Spirit, right? We're praying in the Spirit. You need to ask the Spirit to reveal to you whatever is going on in there that needs to be dealt with. And to stop fooling yourself, to look in the mirror and take an honest assessment. That's the start of change. And that only comes from the Holy Spirit, because in our flesh, we're going to keep doing the things that we want to do. But in the Spirit, there is freedom to release those things that we are struggling with and dealing with. There is freedom to change because of Jesus Christ, because we don't have to walk in perfection, because we don't have to have it all together. Jesus Christ says, I free you through my shed blood on the cross. Your sin is taken care of. Now go to the Spirit and ask him to deal with it on the daily with you. And he will. That's his promise. You pray that, that is God's will and desire for you, for your heart to be continually changed to look more like Christ. He will pour that out on you. So number one, begin to pray for your own heart and your own spirit. I promise you this, the vast majority of issues that we are dealing with in our life come down to our own heart posture and how we are dealing with it and our perspective. Ask for the Lord's perspective. It will change everything. Secondly, we're not just praying for our own heart, right? Start praying for those close circles around you. What do I mean when I say close circles? You have friends, you have family, you have neighbors, you have coworkers, you have people that you care about, you have people that you are interacting with on a daily basis. Whatever those close circles are, begin to pray specific prayers for those people. If they do not know Jesus, begin to pray for opportunities to share the gospel with them. If they do not know Jesus, pray that they would encounter him everywhere they go, that it would be impossible to miss it, so that their life might be transformed. Maybe today your marriage is struggling. Maybe today you and your wife or you and your husband are dealing with some stuff. Begin to pray for them first and foremost. Begin to pray for that relationship to be mended, for restoration to begin to happen inside of that marriage. That is God's will and desire for you. I promise you that. Begin to pray for your children. I don't know how many of you have children. If you do, I don't know how many of you are praying for them every day, but I promise you this, the enemy wants to destroy them. We must be praying for them every moment of every day. They are in a battlefield out there. their schools, their neighborhoods. They're being attacked left and right. They should be on our prayer list. Other family members and friends, maybe they're going through difficult situations, health crises, whatever it might be, we've got to be praying for them because the enemy wants to destroy them too. Maybe it's your small group. Many of you are in a small group here at True North Church. If praying for one another isn't a weekly part of what you are doing in your small group, begin to do that. Hold each other up. Hold each other accountable. Pray for one another. We need it so badly. And then finally, when you see a need, pray. When you see a need, pray. And it can be the tiniest, smallest, seemingly most minute detail. Pray. You're driving down the highway and somebody has a flat tire on the side of the road. I'm not real good with changing tires, so I don't know how good I'd be actually stopping, but I can absolutely pray for them. What about other circumstances? You're at work. You see a colleague in the corner looking distressed. Pray for them. You're at the baseball game, the football game. There's a giant crowd there. Begin to pray for all of those people that are sitting in that stadium. Maybe it's a world issue, a world circumstance that's going on. What's going on over in the Ukraine? Things that are going here in our own country, our own government. There are needs everywhere. If we will open our eyes to see the needs around us. It makes me laugh sometimes when I think back to when I would pray as a kid or even as a teenager or early in my adult life and wonder, how am I ever going to pray for more than a minute or two? Because I think about it now, and I feel like I could literally just pray all day. There are so many needs. There are so many people in this world who are hurting, who the enemy is attacking. We need to stop, and we need to pray for them. We need to be praying about everything. And so, church, as we close today, here's my final question. Do you want to win more battles? Do you? Come on, church. Do you want to win more battles? Yes. We all do. We all do. It starts with your prayer life. Do you want to see transformation, not just in yourself, but in the people around you? It begins with your prayer life. Church, do you want to see the gates of hell slammed shut in the face of the enemy? It starts with our prayer life. I want to leave you with a verse from James chapter 5, verse 16. It's one of my favorite verses in Scripture. It says that the prayer of a righteous person, the prayer of a righteous man, the prayer of a righteous woman is powerful and effective. The prayer of a righteous person, a person who is praying in the Spirit, in the will of God, who desires the will of God, is powerful and effective. Church, we need more people. We need more men, more women praying powerfully and effectively in our world. Amen? Amen. Let's go and let's be that kind of church that is just praying our faces off every single day from one moment to the next. And I promise you, if you will begin to do that, begin to make your prayer life a lifestyle, you will see change happen in areas that you have never seen it. And you will see it change in others' lives too.